it is so hard to describe the Aladdin movie on the radio or whatever, you know, because you really need to see a picture of it. You know, everything in it is made of paper mache and cardboard and stuff, and so we had to build 30 rooms out of cardboard and 500 paper mache objects, and then the effect is sort of like a real life cartoon. So it's like the actors sort of look like they're inside of a world of my drawings, you know. Yeah, so it's a modern day Aladdin, and it has in mind the lamp is a 3D printer, and the Sultan has a reality show, and the princess is sort of like a Kardashian. Aladdin is an indie rock singer, you know, a lot of the movie is also about my feelings about technology, and also love.
Is there any reason why you chose that particular fairy tale? Do you have a connection to the Aladdin story?
Well, I mean, I liked that it was a love story. I mean, kind of about choosing human relationships and human connections over unlimited material wealth for free. You know, I wanted to tell a bit about... Well, I mean, I wanted to tell about love that I found on planet Earth, but I wanted to show it in another dimension. And so the movie sort of takes place in another dimension. It takes place in a video game. It takes place inside of a painted universe, you know, that where nothing is real. So it's about something real in a world where nothing is real.
Talking about the movie, it's a low-budget production. You basically did everything, well, you and your team, mm-hmm. by yourself. Well, it was incredible amount of work, but do you prefer working freely, or would you like to do it with maybe a bigger budget and then people who tell you how to do things?
I think certainly freely would be the preferred method for me. You know, it's funny because I was used to making albums and stuff where, you know, you largely get to decide, you know, almost everything about what's on your album. And what I, as a musician making a movie, I didn't realize that that's actually not considered to be what normally happens with a movie. Usually there's like 10,000 people telling you what to do. And so I wanted to make, I mean, I had a lot of help actually from some other artists and stuff. You know, I started the movie with Dima Dubson, and he was the cinematographer, and he eventually became the editor of the movie. And I mean, honestly, when I was acting in the movie, he was almost like had to be the co-director during certain scenes where I just had, you know, very little reference for what's going on, you know, and just looking at Dima being like, is this okay? You know, and he was a really important part of the movie, and he's enormously you know, kind of creative in a very like humanistic way, where he really like, I feel like he notices things about people and shots and stuff that I didn't even really like have seen if he hadn't pointed it out to me. And then Toby Goodshank, who was in The Moldy Peaches with me, Toby Goodshank was the prop master of the film, and basically you know, as I was saying, the film has 500 paper mache props, so the build of all these props took, you know, over 4 months, and Toby was, I guess, built, you know, them like more of them than anybody. I also had a lot of helpers that people who had gone to either art school or who had worked in the art department of indie films and stuff. And so you see a lot of contributions of artists, but one thing that was important to me is I wanted everything to look like I drew it. So to do it, I had to actually draw every line in the movie, you know, and like sort of paint it like, you know, so it looked like I drew it. And then, I mean, basically at the end, then also there was an enormous task of coloring everything in. I would just say that basically like it was a community project. I mean, in the sense that most everyone did it for basically free, you know. And
how did you get all those people to help you for basically free? How did you make them understand how important that project is to you?
I have no idea. I mean, I think because of the internet, I was posting a lot of pictures of me and Toby and this guy Wilson, who was working with me at the time. We're just building stuff, and people would say, "I'll come down there and help you," you know. And then from there, we posted on this site called Mandy.com. I think it's like a site where artists go to find work or whatever, and we just sort of said, like, yeah, you know, we got this project. And also because the cast is really cool. I mean, the cast was a mixture of musicians and artists, but it was like already confirmed at that point was, you know, that Macaulay Culkin was going to do it, Devendra Banhart, Natasha Lyonne, Harmar Superstar, Alia Shawkat, Francesco Clemente, Bipling. I think people were excited to come to a place where, you know, all these different artists and actors and musicians were going to be. I think people thought it was fun. You know, the idea of, I mean, the invitation was essentially like, come down to this warehouse in Brooklyn, which happened to be really hot. It was a very hot warehouse, but it's just kind of like, you can be inside of a real life cartoon. You know, you can be, you know, in a video game.
The new songs are part of the soundtrack of the movie. How is the connection between the music and the film?
The music in the film, well, like the I mean, I originally saw them. I mean, I see the whole thing as sort of the same thing. I was writing the music before the film, or I was writing it as I began to write the film, and I had a bunch of writing, like pool of notes, you know, and almost kind of like song lyrics. You know, song lyrics, and that's the way I write anyway, is I write everything sort of in that sort of song lyric style, and I actually would just use the lines interchangeably for the songs or for the movie, and sometimes I would use both. In both, you can hear the same line in the songs on the Aladdin album as you can in the movie, and I mean, I think of that as sort of the way that people think. I mean, I feel like I've always tried to write my songs in the way that I think, that people think. I'm not really interested in, like, the naturalism of trying to make the dialogue seem like it was realistically spoken that way. You know, like, you know what I mean? I'm more interested in sort of having it almost be sort of a poetic lines that sort of, to me, show the way that sort of people's, it's almost like a conversation that people's souls are having with each other, you know, as opposed to like what they would literally be saying to each other.
Did the actors agree with that, or was it a bit unusual lines that you had them say?
Well, I think it was difficult, you know. I think that for most actors, you know, tell themselves a story of like who their character is, and then they pretend to be like somebody that they actually, you know, kind of know or can imagine, and then with characters that are saying such, you know, speaking like that, it can be tough. And you know, we would actually have to we'd have to sort of go over what the line meant. But I don't know, most of the actors, actually a lot of the actors in the movie are great actors, and they didn't have that much of a problem with it, but I could tell that it's difficult. And plus also, because I think of everyone's line as a lyric, like, I'm sorry, a lyric, that I want it to be said exactly that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. It means something different to me that it... The reason why I wrote it is specifically that way.
Absolutely no room for improv.
I didn't really give any people room for improv, and I think that's, you know, that's tough, you know. You know, probably if I was going to do another movie... If I had more time too, maybe after I got the line the way that I pictured it, I would have like let people just do whatever they wanted.
To me, your musical style changed since Minor Love in 2010, that it got more, well, laid back, more alternative rock, less string arrangements. Mm. Did something special happen that you changed your musical style?
Well, I mean, a lot of it just has to do with just the circumstances that I started recording all my albums in LA with Noah Georgeson, and so Noah, and also the musicians that I worked with out there, primarily like Rodrigo Amarante, Joe Steinbrick, And most recently on the new record, Stella Mezgawa, the drummer of Warpaint. But yeah, I mean, have had a huge influence on my music because there were certain reference points that I was able to explore with them that I hadn't really been able to do with my old band. I think I started to explore a sort of like folk funk style. And just got into that idea, like increasingly making an album that I wanted to sound sort of like a psychedelic bubblegum album.
Interesting description.
You know, and yeah, so I just, I don't know, I think I really like the idea of sort of, you know, having a record that sort of sounds like the bass player dropped like acid an hour ago and it just started to kick in, you know, and that's sort of the feeling I wanted, you know, just this very sort of 60s bell bottoms kind of album.
You're influenced quite a lot by the musicians of the 60s and 70s, like Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Lou Reed, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You agree with that? And do you miss artists like that in the modern music sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm really influenced by those guys. In the sense that the people used to make a lot of movies, or they used to make more music movies, would sort of tell a sort of fantasy version of the life of the musician, like even Purple Rain is like that, you know, or like Born to Boogie by T-Rex, you know, or like Frank Zappa has a few movies like that, and Bob Dylan used to make movies. I don't know, I like the idea of just bands in movies, you know, the Beatles made movies too, you know, I really like that idea, and so yeah, so I wanted to just have that be the way that it is, but yeah, I mean, I think I also appreciate how ambitious a lot of those people are, those albums are and things, and I don't know, I mean, you know, it's anything, I think it's like often you feel like you're having a dialogue with the people from the past, you know. Well, you know, like it's almost like having musical conversations or, you know, artistic ones, you know, with people who are probably dead. And in that sense, it's funny because I think of a lot of those older musicians almost as more like myths or something, you know, it's like, so it's not really, it's more like something like color I'm using, you know, like I don't think that I'm like anyone that's old. Like, I think that, like, I'm just sort of, if anything, referencing some things, like, as an artist, you know, just, like, because it's, like, a color that I want to use and I want to show people. I mean, I kind of feel like everyone that's sort of been born, I mean, I was born in 1981, so I was sort of born into, like, a postmodernist world, you know, so everything has been sort of ironic since I was grown up, you know, so I just feel like, if anything, you know, I'm just sort of, like, if I, you know, do a song where it sounds like Serge Gainsbourg or something, like, I don't think I'm Serge Gainsbourg, you know, I think I'm using it ironically, you know, I mean, to show something about the world now, you know.
But do you think that music and art nowadays is as important as it was in society, or did it change?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that it's difficult to find a place for music in the way that it used to be so heavily important for people culturally, and that it would almost like inform their decisions about how they're going to live their life and everything based on music. And I it's hard for me to say if it is that way or not. I mean, it seems like it's a compelling force still, but yeah, I would be curious to know, you know, if people still feel that way who are, you know, 12 or something about music. I mean, they probably do. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, but I have heard that. I mean, what do you think?
I would say no. because you had these icons like Bob Dylan, David Bowie, and so on. And nowadays, well, maybe it's difficult to say just now who could be an icon like that, but I think to people it isn't as important as it was in maybe the 60s or 70s.
I mean, you know, like for example, that new Kendrick Lamar album came out and probably is like really important to really young people. And something that's like, you know, kind of sounds like a really impassioned record about what's going on right now. And I'm sure is hitting people really hard, you know. And I think like it's just like anything. I mean, you know, I mean, I wanted to expand outside of music and include music. And for me, I wanted to make artwork that was. For me, it was like the idea was to make a complete artwork that was, you know, what appealed to me about film was that I could make something that was like my sculptures and drawings and then have it sound like my music and then use my writing inside of it and appear inside of it. And for me, that would be like I could actually take every way that I like to be creative and combine it into one alchemical whole, you know. And so, and that idea I really got from seeing Holy Mountain by Alejandro Jodorowsky was like probably my biggest influence in, you know, in trying to make that kind of ambitious kind of complete artwork universe. But you know, I think that if anything, you know, as a person, it's like I want to show something that's like inside of me, you know, and I want to, as an artist, I guess, I want to show something inside of me, and I want to show it clearly. Like I want it, I don't want it to be like something that's gone through many different walls and been changed before it got out. Like I want to actually have it be what the vision is inside. I want to push it out like through my skin as it looked, and it should be like tracing, and it should look like the way that it is. And with the Aladdin movie is sort of like an interior landscape, you know. It's more like if you cut a person open and you show them your insides, it's like that's, you know, that's for me, that's what the movie is. It's not even really a movie, it's more like a thing.
Do you support Bernie Sanders, or at least his ideas? And is that something that you do rather as a private person, or could you imagine your art also being a bit more explicitly political?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I voted for Sanders, and I mean, you know, he seems like a candidate that, you know, I was excited to endorse. You know, I don't really know what kind of a guy he really is. I mean, I don't know, but it seemed like definitely captured the, you know, admiration of pretty much the people that I know. But yeah, I mean, I think that the Aladdin movie, for example, has like a sultan character who's a tyrant and he's like surveilling people, and it's sort of more of a symbolic representation of something. I mean, it's a fantasy movie, so it's not like going to be literally like about George Bush or something, but it's, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah, so I don't know if I really want to write songs or things that are so, I think I'm by nature sort of like a symbolist artist, that I use things metaphorically to show something as an artist. And like I just feel like there's so many people that are better at saying that kind of stuff, and you know that's their talent, and I think they should go and do that. And I think that for me, like I think everyone kind of knows how I feel about the world, because like I think I'm very open about it, and it's like I don't think anyone like has any misconceptions that I feel anything but like fairly liberal about things.
In general, do you make a difference between you as an artist and you as a person, as a private person?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of treat artwork as if it's sort of a sacred ground where I can pretty much talk about or say whatever I want. You know, I want it to be open, and I don't want to be judged in that way when I'm creating something. I also don't want to think about anything else than creativity when I'm making up things. Like I don't want to think about money or anything, and so yeah, like in that sense, you know, like I want to give myself the chance to offend or shock or whatever in my artwork, you know. I mean, in my personal life, like, you know, it's more earthbound, you know. Like I mean, I have earthly concerns, you know. I have a family and stuff, you know. I have a, also, you know, my wife Yasmin produced the movie. She produced Aladdin while she was pregnant with our daughter.
You have been called a multimedia artist, and you're a musician, director, writer. Is there anything left that you'd like to try out artistically?
Yeah, lots of things. I mean, you know, I think that there's always the kernels of different ideas that come, you know, at the end of certain projects, and I can pick them up where I left off, you know, for example, like certain songs or certain styles, like I'm in it intending to explore more, but I just kind of know that I'm saving it for later, you know, like there's just a lot of little things.
Could you give some examples?
Like
stuff you want to try?
Well, like for example, when I did the music for a play album, where it's actually music for a play, it was like I composed sort of like symphonic songs for this play, and there was the album I made right after Minor Love, which was a small release, but it's one of my favorite albums that I made, and I'd love to explore that more, you know, making like symphonic stuff and I mean, I guess even for example with The Wrong Ferrari, you know, where the movie was so spontaneous in a way. I mean, I just gave the actors index cards the day of the shoot, and so they had no idea what they were going to say until that day. And so that would be something that would be fun to like to pick up on that again and to try to make another kind of movie like that, you know. Or yeah, there's all kinds of little things. It's kind of funny, I guess. You just have like lots of little ends lying around your studio or whatever, and you look at them and think, like, maybe this should be a whole thing, you know. Maybe this is not just supposed to be one thing.
There has been always a discussion about your art, well, at least in German media. So some people, well, about 10 years ago, saw you as a savior of modern folk music. Some others said, well, your lyrics are kind of a bad joke. So where do you position yourself in this discussion? And do you even care about it?
I don't know. I mean, I welcome anyone to discuss or my music at all. You know, I think that's great that people are even talking about it or have talked about it or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of not really like, I feel like for me to, not the kind of thing that somebody says about themselves, like, you know, what their position is in the world of whatever, you know? I mean, it's more for other people to decide. But, you know, if anything, I think, you know, it's like you just keep on digging into your whatever that is, like that, you know, well of consciousness, or, you know, to try to extract things to show the world that are, you know, considered to be art. And it's just like kind of becoming an emotional stuntman or something, you know. And just like, I mean, people are curious about sort of like what's like obscure feelings and things. I mean, it's kind of funny, they're just turn to art because they almost want to hear somebody say something that maybe they already thought already, but they never heard voiced or something, or, you know, so it's kind of funny. But yeah, but I mean, I think if anything, you know, I've been making up a world.